The true value of man is not determined by his possession, supposed or real, of truth, but by his sincere exertion to get to the truth. It is not possession of truth by which he extends his powers and in which his ever-growing perfectibility is to be found. Possession makes one passive, indolent, and proud. If God were to hold all truth concealed in his right hand, and in his left hand only the steady and diligent drive for truth, albeit with the proviso that I would always and forever err in the process, and to offer me the choice, I would with all humility take the left hand. And this week's opening quote comes from Gotthold Ephraim Lessing. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, here I am back in the Amazon, folks. You might hear a few insect noises and a bit of rain tonight. It's been raining for the last 60 or 65 hours or so, and that's just what you get when you're in the Amazon. But what an interesting world we have today, folks. Has anyone really looked at what's going on since Trump got elected? Has anyone really noticed the change in people, the change in social media, the massive amount of division that seems to have been interjected into virtually every aspect of our lives? You look at the conversations on social media these days, it's all left and right. It's all argument, it's all belittling other people, and it's all attacking anyone who doesn't buy into the belief system, whichever belief system those have chosen to buy into. There seems to be very little objectivity left with people, and it's been quite fascinating to see. You've got people supporting more powers for the police, you've got women supporting war, you've got people throwing all the information they've learnt in the last 10 or 15 years out the window to just put their blind faith in government. Looking at the whole Trump thing, I've tried to remain completely objective through the whole thing. I'm certainly not buying into the concept that he is the savior that everyone's waiting for. I'm certainly not buying into the concept that he is the most evil man that ever existed. But apparently you have to buy into one of these concepts. It's really been quite amazing to see. If you say a word against Trump, you get attacked by the Trump supporters with quite an extraordinary amount of venom. And if you do not question Trump, then you get attacked by the anti-Trump supporters with pretty well the same degree of venom that you get from the other side. And if you choose to remain objective and look at things with an open mind and look at the good stuff he's doing and the bad stuff he's doing and attempt to weigh it all up and not particularly resign yourself to either side, then you get attacked by both camps. It is quite interesting, folks, and I think the name of the game is divide and conquer, and it's working a charm. But the thing about all this, folks, is that with all this divide and conquer, what this has really shown is people's unwillingness to cooperate with each other. You know, really the people shouldn't be arguing. They should be sitting back and seeing what Trump is going to do, and they should be unifying as one people of the United States. I mean, frankly, those people who are out there protesting Trump are simply protesting democracy. That's all they're doing. I mean, their side didn't win. So what? That's called democracy. That's the way a vote works. There's always one group of people who your side doesn't win. And that's just the way it is. And you don't see these riots every time it's somebody else. So it's kind of ridiculous that these riots are happening and these protests are happening. And it should be very obvious to everybody that these riots and protests are being funded. I mean, why else would they be happening? People don't normally do this when their political party loses. And really what this should be about is unity. And it's shown how unprepared people are to embrace unity and to really step back and look what's going on. And the thing is, folks, it doesn't matter what sort of world Trump is going to lead you into. If you're not a unified people and you can't step into your moral compass, then it isn't going to matter. You know, no one can lead you to safety if you're not prepared to save yourselves and you're not prepared to start doing the right thing and adjust your moral compass. Stop with the accusations. Stop accusing everybody who disagrees with you as being controlled opposition or paid. Stop buying into all this propaganda you're being fed. I mean, stop buying into the left or the right, because the truth is that there is no left or right. It's really about people and where your heart is that's going to make a difference. That's what's going to bring about real change. And nothing else is going to do it. You know, some months back I said, it isn't going to matter which way it goes, you know, whether Trump does the right thing or whether he does the wrong thing, because it's the opportunity this is going to provide to people. Ultimately, what this whole Trump presidency is going to come down to is what the people do. And this is what I've been saying right from the beginning, and What the people are doing right now is terrible, to be quite honest. It really is. People are simply buying into the divide and conquer strategy. And people seem to have thrown all logic and reason and research out of the window. For example, if you question Trump at all, you get accused of being financed by George Soros these days. And any questions against Trump, you also get accused of buying into CNN propaganda. They've certainly done well with their fake news meme, folks. It seems to have infected most people's minds. And so now people believe that anything that disagrees with the opinion that they have is fake news or funded by George Soros. It's quite amazing to see what has happened to the independent media. And it's quite amazing to see how many people have put all of their objectivity aside and decided to follow Trump, which is essentially following the state. I mean, the state is the state, folks, regardless of what face it puts on. I mean, you look at Trump's cabinet, well, he is surrounded by the very same Goldman Sachs and Zionist crew that all the previous administrations have been surrounded by as well. So you've got to really step back and look at this and just check it out and see what he's going to do and what he's going to get away with and what he isn't. He's certainly finding that things are not as easy as he wanted. So in many ways, that's a good sign because it shows that, well, he isn't going to be just introducing this completely over-the-top dictatorial manner of governance because he's just not being allowed to get away with it. And that's kind of a good thing. You've got to have some sort of checks and balances in there. As corrupt as the system is, I mean, you can't give total power to any one man. But then you've got to look at what it is that he's doing and what it is that the Supreme Court is standing up against. And as I've often said, why isn't he doing the really important things? I mean, sure, sealing the borders and making sure your country is secure is good on one hand, but what was it that brought the United States to the point of insecurity that it suffers today? Well, that event was 9/11. So why isn't that being investigated? And why is DynCorp still being given government contracts? And why has the Clinton Foundation not been investigated and had all of its assets frozen? I mean, these are important issues. And a lot of what's going on the ground seems to be a smokescreen to create a lot of instability on the ground and to keep people fighting amongst each other over the whole left and right paradigm rather than looking at these bigger issues which have caused all of the problems that we now see in the world today. I mean, 9/11 and the War of Terror is something that really seriously needs to be looked at as quickly as possible, because that could bring this whole situation to a complete closure right now. It could stop all of these invasions. It could bring about a platform whereby we could start rebuilding these countries, which would stop the migrant influx into Europe. I mean, there's so many things that could be achieved by simply investigating the 9/11 attacks and freezing the assets of DynCorp and the Clinton Foundation. So why isn't this being done? Now, like I said, folks, he is doing a lot of positive stuff on the ground for the people, but he's not doing anything really positive on the international stage. But, you know, you've got to give him credit for doing some good things, or at least attempting to, although some of his rhetoric is quite disturbing. Although there are some positive things on the surface, some positive things that may be indicating that he's changing his way of thinking a little bit. Whether it's by pressure or not, at least we are seeing things that are changing, which are changing for the better. Another good thing is that he has backflipped on the decision to move the US embassy to Jerusalem. He's saying he's going to delay that process, so that could be a good sign as well. Perhaps he's seeing the absolute folly of such a move, but there are other things that need to be looked at as well. I mean, like I've said, he's been doing a lot of good things on the ground for the people of the United States, but you've got to look at the international policies. They seem to be following the same hard line that the previous administrations were following. And there also seems to be an awful lot of posturing towards Russia, which is quite different to the pre-election rhetoric that we were hearing from the Trump camp. So it's just interesting to watch where all this is going, folks, and to see how it all unfolds. But I have no doubt that Trump has his own agenda, perhaps the neocon agenda that's been going forward for so long, that has been reaping massive amounts of profits for the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp and many others. Perhaps this was just seen as unviable, and Trump sees a far better business opportunity in doing things his way. And it's important to understand here, folks, that Trump is not the leader here. I mean, there are forces above Trump. There are those who control things that have always controlled things, of which Trump is simply an agent and working on their behalf. I mean, if you think this isn't going on, then honestly, you've got rocks in your head, because everything is a play, folks. All the world is a stage. It really is, folks, and all we're being offered here that I can see is simply another play. It's another path towards an inevitable conclusion, but it's all leading to the same place, and whatever system the politicians, any politician, is going to offer to the people, ultimately it's still a system of control in whatever shape it takes. But whatever way it is, I can't see it really leading towards anything that the people want. And that might sound like I'm speaking out against Trump, but it's not, folks. You know, the problem is with whatever system anybody brings along and whatever leader gets put in place, if people don't change what's in their heart and they don't change their moral compass, then it's not going to matter. I mean, that's really the way it is, folks, like I was saying before. And what this has really shown is people's unwillingness to do that. You know, how easily the people can be divided over an issue and how well they're being played. I mean, really, the way the media is attacking Trump and some media is, I mean, this is all such theatre, folks. It's all such theatre to get people rallying against him, to get people rallying for him rather than sitting back and unifying as a nation and seeing what is happening and what is unfolding and addressing it and questioning it. You know, but ruling by executive order, this is no way to do things. And you wouldn't have to rule by executive order if the people were not so divided. So people need to put down all of this division, stop buying into this left and right paradigm, and step back and really look at things objectively and just see where it's going. You know, if they unify as one nation, one American people, then they have the ability to question things. They have the ability to look at where it's going properly and to really be objective about it. But don't think anyone can lead you to safety if you have not adjusted your moral compass. If people are still prepared to do the wrong thing in their daily life and in their daily activities, if they're still prepared to attack and belittle and question anyone who has an opinion that disagrees with them, then it's not going to get anywhere. And the nation's never going to get anywhere, and you're just playing right into their hands. I mean, all America is doing at the moment is marching towards a massive confrontation within its own borders, like civil war or whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of ways they could take this. And that's why they are whipping up this whole chaos and division meme that they are pushing on everybody. You look at the media, they're always going, it's chaos, it's chaos, it's chaos. And how there are two camps, anti-Trump, anti-Trump, for Trump, for Trump. And anybody who disagrees with either side is the enemy. And like I said, folks, even if you try to remain objective, then you become the enemy of both camps. And it's been very sad to see. But a lot of the independent media is thrown their weight so far behind the state that is quite shocking to see. And everything has been such a play. I mean, the media is really spinning things, and so is many forces within the independent media really spinning things to make sure the camp remains divided and to make sure that everybody sees a problem with everything when problems aren't really there and they're not looking below the surface to see what the real issues are. And it's all such theatre, folks. It really is. It's all theatre for the masses, and it's designed to get reactions and to measure those reactions. Now, you look at what happened during the Obama administration. The Obama administration did all the things that the Trump administration is doing, even with this travel ban. So why was it made so public when Trump did it? Why was it taken as a travel ban and people didn't look below the surface and look at actually the little testing of the waters that happened with the Department of Homeland Security? Because that's really what it was about. It wasn't about the travel ban at all. You know, and people protest Trump for banning these seven countries, and it's not good that any travel ban has been put in place, but how come they're protesting Trump banning these seven countries when Obama had been bombing these countries for the last 8 years and nobody complained about that at all? So people need to look at how they're being played, and they need to stop these protests and get a little bit of focus on what the bigger picture is here. And it's very interesting to see how people are prepared to give their freedoms away when they believe they are faced by a common enemy. For example, there's been people saying it's a good idea to bring in ID cards because of the illegal immigrant problem. This is ridiculous, folks. You're asking for ID cards. There's been people saying they can't wait for martial law to come in just to clean up the immigrants and just to stop all these protests. This is ridiculous, folks. You're asking for martial law. And people just don't seem to understand, like, with these protests, if they're pushed and pushed and it's taken to a point of confrontation between two sides, then martial law may well kick in. And if that happens, that will give Trump the ability to kick in every single executive order that's been written since the Clinton administration. And when you look through these executive orders, there's some very, very nasty stuff in there. It involves seizure of assets. It involves loss of your vehicles, wives and husbands being separated from each other, children being separated from their parents, or transport frozen, or assets frozen, or borders closed, passports revoked. I mean, all sorts of stuff comes into play. If the people push it on the ground far enough to create some sort of a response from the government. And if you can't see that this is what's being pushed, and this is why the media is promoting such division and such hatred against Trump, then I don't know. I don't know what to say, because you must see how you're being played. People really have to look at this. All of this is controlled. I mean, you can sit back and you can question what Trump's doing without marching in the street and protesting and attacking and belittling anyone who questions you. And the Trump supporters can also look at what Trump's doing without attacking and belittling anyone who questions Trump. You know, you've got to get out of this left and right paradigm, this left and right mentality, and see that there's a bigger picture here. Trump wouldn't have got into the position that he's in without help, folks, regardless of whether he has good intentions or whether he doesn't. I just think that he's a businessman and he's looking at it from the point of view of a different business opportunity. You know, obviously the neocons were failing. They were so far behind schedule with what they wanted to do to try to bring this new world order online. They were so far behind schedule. So now there's a new face on the coin to bring the new world order online, and it may not look exactly like the new world order that we thought we were going to get. But ultimately, it's still a system that is being ruled by someone who is ruling over a people who have no moral compass and no real understanding of what they could achieve by changing their moral compass. You know, why people can't see, you know, if they were to change the direction that their moral compass points in, do the right thing in all that they do, they wouldn't need Trump. They wouldn't need anyone to bring a new system online for them. The system would have to change itself around them. If people simply refuse to comply with anything which caused them to cause harm, injury or death, or support things that cause harm, injury or death, you know, make one international law that war is illegal. I mean, there's so many ways out of this mess, folks, but it's got to come from the hearts of the people. And if we're not prepared to look there, then there's not going to be any solution found. And, you know, all of this left and right bickering that's going on, all this squabbling, all the attacks, all the animosity I'm seeing on YouTube threads and on Facebook and everywhere I look, I'm just seeing people fighting with each other, belittling each other, falsifying information, bending information to suit their own agenda, and just locking themselves into a belief system. You know, it's just very, very disturbing to see how people have fallen into this trap. And I think it's time people regain some focus. I really do. I think it's important. And also, in social media and chat threads, when people are communicating with each other in text online, they need to stop taking themselves so seriously. You know, you can put down a remark and you can make a flippant comment at someone. You can have a bit of a dig at them on the way back. But if you use a swear word or something, people immediately take it to the most ridiculous extreme, like you've actually wished them dead or whatever. It's incredible how serious people take themselves when they read stuff in text, because text removes all emotion from the language. It removes all body language. It removes all heart content. You don't get to understand what people are really saying when you read it in text. You don't get to see the look in their eyes. You don't get to hear the tone of their voice when they make the comment, and you don't get to see the emotion behind it. And this is causing a huge amount of division with people as well. Even if you go to countries such as the Philippines and Bali and Thailand, these sort of countries, the parents are horrified at what social media is doing to their children, because the children are tending to text to each other and talk to each other rather than talk to each other. And suddenly children are developing problems with other children, like, I don't like this girl or I don't like that boy, because of little text things that happen between each other. And people have just taken themselves too seriously, and these rifts have been created where if people were communicating in real life, the rift would never have been created. They never would have taken things the wrong way. They would have been able to have these little quips and digs and little friendly insults at each other without them being taken to the extreme. But when it's done in text, people take things to the extreme, and they take things to heart when there is in fact no heart in the text they have taken to their heart. And that is the problem. And I believe social media is doing a great deal of damage to people, and it's very much inhibiting people's communication skills. It's causing people to think in a very black and white manner, and to not put any humanity into the texts and the conversations that they're having with people. I think this is very damaging, folks. It's a very left-brained approach to human interaction, and I think it's been done for a reason. I think we've been pushed in this area for a reason, simply because it disconnects us and it causes us to think in a very black and white manner with no real heart in the conversations that we're conducting with other people. I think this is very bad, folks. I think it's doing a lot of damage. That's why I intend to step away from social media as much as I can soon. I've announced that I'm going to be closing all of my Facebook pages. I'm getting an enormous amount of flack from that. I'm getting a lot of people, like virtually hundreds of people, who have written me emails asking me to keep at least one of my Facebook pages open because that's how they found me and that's how they contact me. So I'll just think about it, folks. But I really do not wish to participate in social media very much anymore, simply because I don't like the way it's going. And also with Facebook, I think people are becoming far too dependent upon Facebook. For many people, the internet is Facebook and Facebook is the internet. There are shops that don't even have websites anymore. They just have a Facebook page. So it's really, really doing a lot of damage, and it's very much contributing to the centralization of control that this system is working towards. So I think even the name itself, Facebook, it lets you know what it is, folks. It's a database where they can put in people via facial recognition and just find out everything about them, who all their contacts are, and all sorts of stuff like that. There's even one minister in the United States was saying that the countries that are targeted under Trump's travel ban, the people that are coming in that are being investigated should also have to give up their social media passwords so that the authorities, the Department of Homeland Security, can look all through their social media, see what messages they've been sending to people, and just check them out completely. So you can see where they intend to take this, folks. I mean, it's not just going to be for people coming in from foreign countries. It's going to be for everybody. So you can see exactly where they're going with this. So in that, you can see what Facebook is really about, folks. And that is also another reason not to support it. And it isn't a matter of fear not wanting to support it. It's a matter of, by supporting Facebook, you are supporting the control grid, you are supporting the police state, and you are supporting everything they want to bring online. So it's a fine line. Sure, there is convenience there in supporting certain social media platforms, but how much of a trade-off is that convenience to bring this whole New World Order system online? So I just think we need to look at it. And so I'll think about that, folks. So I may keep one page open, but at the moment I feel that I should close them all. I would like to open a forum on the website if anyone would like to do that, open a forum for me that I can link to, or even if anyone would like to moderate the forum that I've already got there, I could perhaps reopen that forum and update it, and we could get that back online again, and that would be a way that people could contact me. But I'll just play it by ear for now, and we'll see how we go with it. But I think people need to really look at social media and really stop taking things so seriously in chat texts. You know, people don't always wish you dead if they tell you to go off and drown yourself. It doesn't mean that they actually wish you to go and die, folks. It's just a figure of speech. Sometimes people get frustrated. I certainly do. And sometimes I say things, and I'm just surprised at how seriously people take them and how much of a vendetta they then go on when there are far more important things to deal with. But that's just what social media does, folks. It very effectively removes the humanity from human interaction, and I think it's very important that we get this humanity back. It's very important that we learn to look in people's eyes and look at their body language and look at their expression and hear the tone of their voice when we're communicating to people, rather than simply reading the spells that are written on the screen. Another question that I have about Facebook is that, well, I don't know, I'm particularly outspoken. You know, out of a lot of the researchers that I listen to, a lot of people are politically correct in what they do, and I'm really not. I'm very outspoken in what I do. I have no problem naming names. If I get things wrong, I'm quite happy to say that I got things wrong. But I find that there are very few people who are quite this outspoken, and so I also wonder, how much am I putting my Facebook friends in danger? I mean, if I put information on Facebook, I mean, I only really do it to get the information shared, but there's algorithms and stuff in place on Facebook whereby the information isn't really being shared anyway. It just doesn't come up in people's feeds. So how much of a difference am I making by using Facebook? Really, perhaps the only difference I'm really making is I'm providing the powers that be with a list of 5,000 names they can put on their watch list. I have to wonder about that. You know, how much am I actually endangering the people that have friended me on Facebook? I mean, It's one thing to want to be in contact with people, but being someone who's very outspoken, perhaps that is all I'm really achieving by participating in Facebook, so I have to weigh that up as well. You know, and if I do keep a page open, I just won't be participating in it, folks. I'll just be posting my show once a week, but that will probably be about all I'm doing. Now, I don't think Facebook is a good place to contact me as well. A lot of people try to contact me through Facebook. I think people are far better off contacting me through the website. That way you know I'm going to get it, and that way you know it gets to my eyes only and doesn't get to whoever else reads all the email on Facebook. I'd like to put it out there about my YouTube channel as well, folks. If you've been unsubscribed from my YouTube channel, this is happening to a lot of people. People are often unsubscribed from my channel. I actually know someone who had to subscribe to my channel 14 times in one day before the subscription would actually hold. So if you have been unsubscribed from the channel, just go and check it out again and resubscribe. It's not me doing it. This is just the way YouTube operates these days. But yeah, folks, I'm not going to be participating much in chat threads much anymore. I've got a lot of work to get done. So I'm just going to be winding down my participation in social media very dramatically. I think it's really important that people get involved on the ground. You know, there's far too much clicktivism and not enough activism. And I think it's important that people get active. And again, that's what Full Circle Project's for, folks. So if you need to find support groups in your local area, do sign up to Full Circle Project and get active on the ground. You're going to find that it makes far more of a difference than being active on social media. I just think it would be really effective, and it's really important that people put humanity back into the equation in all their dealings, realize that that's what they're dealing with. You know, when they're talking about going and bombing Iran, what they're talking about is killing women and children, killing mothers, killing fathers, killing brothers and killing sisters, killing people who want a better life. Doesn't matter what problem you have with any government, bombing the people of the country doesn't help. And it's the same with any of these wars. War doesn't solve anything. Nationalism doesn't solve anything. Now, I say that and people accuse me of wanting to have open borders. Folks, I don't believe in borders. I don't believe in countries. I don't believe in all the stuff that we made up. What I believe in is humanity. And I think if we didn't have governments getting in the way, we could have a very, very good life on this earth. But we're just not getting it because we buy into all this stuff that we're fed. We buy into the nationalism, we buy into the division, we buy into the economic system, and we forget about what's really at the heart of it all, which is just people. But I think we've reached break time, folks. I'll leave it there for now. We'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I said, you know, bombing countries is no way to solve any problems. Bombing Iran is no way to solve any issues that the United States has with Iran. And that's something that's very, very disturbing about the Trump presidency, how he has made such threatening postures towards Iran, and he seems to be carrying on the Israeli agenda to wipe this country out. And bear in mind, as I've said many times, Iran has not attacked another country in over 270 years. And any support that Iran offers to any of the forces that are resisting the terrorism that is being waged against their countries, the terrorism that is being waged against the people of Yemen by Saudi Arabia, for example, any help that's given to the rebels that are fighting for their freedom in these countries is seen as supporting terrorism by the United States, when it is actually the United States which has been funding and supporting terrorism for a long time. Not just the United States, of course, England, there are so many forces at work here that have been doing this, but it would appear that the golden rule with the United States is that anybody who stands against government, no matter how corrupt that government is a terrorist, unless, of course, that government is a government that the United States doesn't want to be there, and then the government becomes the terrorist and anybody who is standing up against it becomes a freedom fighter. But that seems to be the way American foreign policy functions, and how their categorizing of who is and who is not a terrorist seems to work. Everything is backwards, folks. Everything that you're presented is backwards, and there is absolutely no reason at all for Donald Trump to be posturing against Iran. He could be mending ties with this nation, and as I mentioned earlier, he's also posturing against Russia now as well, despite all of the pre-election rhetoric that we saw. We've seen words from the Trump administration being very critical of the actions of Russia, and Russia really isn't doing anything wrong, either is Iran. So these issues need to be addressed, and this is something that's very disturbing and something that people need to pay attention to when looking at the Trump presidency. You know, for all the good things that you believe him to be doing for your country on the ground, just look at the posturing towards forces overseas and look how swiftly the same old agenda is being pushed forward. And folks, this is essentially the neocon agenda. It's the same seven countries. It's the same fake war of terror, none of which is being addressed at its root cause. You know, Trump's failure to launch a new investigation into the 9/11 attacks, which is actually the root cause of the entire fake war on terror, needs to be taken into account. His failure to look at the situation in Syria and name it as a covert invasion, which is what it is. His continued support for the stance that it's simply an uprising, a civil war, and that they need to bring about regime change in Syria, shows that he's still playing the same agenda. His support for the State of Israel shows he's playing the same agenda. His posturing against Iran shows the same agenda. So people need to look at it, folks, because it isn't just about what's happening on the ground in America. It's what's happening to the world. You know, all the world is a stage, folks. And when Trump first came to power, I said it's going to be very important to pay attention to what the left hand is doing while the right hand is handing out gifts. And it is still very important that people do this. And as I also said many, many times leading up to this election, this is a huge opportunity. The Trump presidency is a huge opportunity for the human race to wake up to itself. It really is, folks. Whether Trump is the good guy or the bad guy, this gives the human race an opportunity to really see that there are no leaders. We have to do things ourselves. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. And we have to be prepared to call things for what they are. Stop buying into this left-right rubbish, folks. There is no left. There is no right. The whole thing's a play. And we've really got to look at what's going on and look at all the things that Trump is doing and ask, does it support you? Does it support your country? Or are you simply being led in one direction? And are you paying attention to what the other hand is doing? It is so important that people do this. And other things as well, folks, like I mentioned earlier, the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp. I mean, anyone who's been following the work of George Webb knows how important it is to investigate these two organizations. You can't allow DynCorp to continue holding government contracts and to continue conducting its human harvesting and organ harvesting around the world. The situation in Haiti needs to be looked at, needs to be addressed. I mean, action needs to be taken in these areas right now because people are dying every hour of every day that action is not taken. And so these things need to be addressed. Why aren't these things being looked at? I mean, we've seen some action recently where some pedophile gang was arrested, but this seems to just be a token effort to find some petty backwater pedophile ring and hang them out to dry and allow the real human harvest to continue, because this will satisfy and appease some of the people who want to see pedophiles brought to justice. But if you're not going to address the real issue, you're not going to address DynCorp, you're not going to address what's going on with Haiti, not what's going on with the Clinton Foundation, what's going on in Syria, all these children that have had their organs harvested in Syria, then you're just really scratching the surface and you're just offering tokens to appease the people. You're not offering anything of any real substance. And we're seeing a lot of this, folks. So not being critical here, but let's just pay attention to what's happening because, as I said earlier, it very much seems that the new boss is the same as the old boss. Sure, there might be a different way of presenting things and a different way of appeasing the people, but ultimately, I just see the same agenda continuing. You know, relations might be souring a little bit between Trump and other nations, but it doesn't really seem to be affecting the overall agenda too much at all. Something that I have no problem being critical of, though, and something that I found quite disturbing was the sickening display of pandering that we saw in the conversation that Donald Trump had with Benjamin Netanyahu when Benjamin Netanyahu came to visit and they had the press conference together. It really was quite sickening to see this capitulation to this state and to see how much of a liar Benjamin Netanyahu really is. The way he presents things so sincerely and so precisely backwards is really an art form that he's developed. I've never seen anyone lie through their teeth quite the way this man does with such incredible sincerity. The way he presented his options for peace, you know, how sincere it was and how reasonable they sounded. All we're asking for is the recognition of the Israeli state and for us to have control of security west of Jordan. That's all we're asking for. And it sounds so reasonable, but people don't realize that what that is asking for all of Palestine to become Israel, and the Palestinians must recognize it, and then they must allow themselves to live under Israeli martial law. That's what the prerequisite for peace is, according to Benjamin Netanyahu. And he says, the settlements are not part of the problem. The problem is Palestine's failure to recognize Israel's right to exist, when really his peace demands themselves fail to recognize Palestine's right to exist. So everything he says is precisely backwards. It's very, very sad to see Donald Trump so openly supporting such a corrupt and apartheid regime. And that's very disturbing, folks, and that's something that very much needs to be taken into account. This constant portrayal of Israel as the victim in this situation needs to stop. It needs to be looked at a little bit more realistically, and there needs to be, sure, compromises made on both sides, as was mentioned in the talk that Trump had with Netanyahu, but of course Netanyahu agreed with that, but then refuses to make any compromises for Israel. Just won't do it. It has to be all on Israeli terms, or there will be no peace process, and that's very disturbing. And all the rhetoric and all the posturing against ISIS, saying they're going to wipe out ISIS and do everything they can to stop this terrorist activity in the Middle East, but they're just not looking at the real funding for ISIS and where it's all coming from to begin with. There's just no acknowledgement of this, folks. And that should be a concern for people as well. I mean, let's get realistic about this. We know this war on terror is fake. We know that ISIS has been created by the West. So why is that not being acknowledged? Now, if you want to drain the swamp, folks, you've got to identify what the swamp is, and we're just not hearing any of that. You know, if anyone wants to address the war on terror, the war of terror, they need to understand that the war of terror is not being run by Iran. Iran is not the financer and purveyor of global terrorism. That is Israel and forces within the United States and England and other countries that are creating all of this terrorism. Iran is simply a peaceful nation that is trying to live peacefully and is being threatened by Israel and its allies. And it's very, very unfortunate to see Donald Trump continuing this charade. You know, as I said earlier, I think one of the big things that's going on here is massive distractions that are being created for the people on the ground in the United States. There's so much going on, it's very, very difficult to even keep up with the Trump presidency. I mean, he's doing so many things. But much of it seems to be distractions that are just there to appease the people, to keep them distracted from what the left hand is doing. You know, this capitulation to Israel and this posturing against Iran and the posturing against Russia is very, very disturbing. And I really don't know how anybody can be looking at the Trump presidency and not taking this into account. You know, he comes across as this all-round good guy and this big brother and this real friend of the people the way he talks, but there's so much of it that is a play. Just listening to that conversation that he had with Benjamin Netanyahu was so disturbing, folks. It really was, for him to be just buying into all that rhetoric and buying into that stuff that Netanyahu said. And this man is a war criminal. You know, there's arrest warrants out for Benjamin Netanyahu in Spain and the Philippines and other countries. I mean, if he ever sets foot in Europe, he'll be arrested. Why isn't he arrested when he goes to the United States? How come there is so much money being given to this state, and now they're just going to give them more support and open slather? Bibi wants to build 5,000 more settlements in Palestine now. And he says, oh, the settlements aren't the problem. I mean, of course it's the problem. You're ripping people out from their homes and creating homeless people and replacing them with Israeli settlements and just basically stealing their country. And you're saying it isn't a problem because there is no Palestine. That's the problem, you see. Israel's failure to recognize Palestine. So this was very, very disturbing, folks, to see the conversation that Trump had with Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, Israel has such a control over world affairs now, and such a control over the United States, and Trump is saying he's against any boycotting of Israel. He's against anything which questions Israel at all. See, Israel can do anything it wants, and nobody can question it. And anybody who does question it is classed as being anti-Semitic. It's just ridiculous. It just gives this country open slather to ethnic cleanse Palestine as much as it wants, and that's what it's been doing. And it seems Trump's going to support this. And if Trump does support it, I mean, admittedly, he said he's going to hold back on moving the embassy to Jerusalem, but he didn't cancel it out. He didn't cancel it out. So if Trump is going to support this sort of stuff, well, it's going to reveal all. I mean, as I said right from the beginning, folks, he needs to investigate 9/11. He needs to investigate the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp, and he needs to withdraw support from Israel. And if he doesn't do this, then it reveals him as simply pushing the same old agenda. And unfortunately, folks, no matter how much of a nice guy he seems to be, and no matter how much good he's doing for the people on the ground, which admittedly he has to do to get the people behind him in order to support this international war he seems to be creating, it's really the international war that people need to be looking at. It would appear he hasn't saved us from war with Russia at all, folks. He's actually going to push us into it. But I don't think it'll be a nuclear war. I think nuclear war kills all business, and I think there are far more sophisticated weapons that they can use than nuclear weapons. So I don't think that's the fear at all. I think nuclear weapons are a great deterrent. They're a great scare tactic for people, but I really don't fear any nuclear war coming to this earth. I don't think it would serve anybody's interest to do it. But I do think we are heading for a very dangerous time, and I think Trump is simply going to escalate the Israeli agenda. And he certainly appears to be doing so. You know, it fascinates me sometimes just how easily people are distracted. You know, we get this whole movement, this whole wave speaking out against the system. We get this whole wave of awareness growing on the world. I mean, I wouldn't say wakefulness because people aren't really awake. I mean, they're aware that there's a problem, but they're not really awake to the true realities of the situation. But you know, we see so much stuff coming to head. We see Pizzagate. We see all this whole worldwide pedophile network exposed. We see the crimes of the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp exposed. We see all of this stuff revealed. And suddenly people fall straight back into the left-right squabble, into the left-right paradigm, and start buying into this whole divide-and-conquer agenda. It's quite freaky to see it happen and how quickly and how easily the people are led away and how quickly their focus can be shifted. And that's what we've seen with the Trump administration. You know, there's so much distraction. There's so much going on. I mean, it's like a circus. There's so much going on the ground and people just aren't paying attention. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to do it, but this whole thing has been a play. And if people can't see that, well, what has the last 10 or 15 or 20 years of research meant to them? You know, this is still the state. Everything Trump's doing is still supporting the state. And look, you've got to have allowed America to deteriorate to the point that it has in order to rebuild it, in order to appease the people, to get them to back you in this whole escalation of the war of terror, this whole posturing against Iran. And if this really goes in the direction that it seems to be pushing, folks, it's going to be a huge confrontation of East against West. And right in the center of that confrontation is going to be Israel. And what do you think is going to happen to Israel in this situation? Remember a few years ago, I think it was in 2012, it may have been earlier, but I think it may have been 2012, when Henry Kissinger said that in 10 years, Israel will no longer exist. What do you think would bring this situation about, folks? The fact is that Israel was never created to exist in its current form. It will either be Greater Israel or will be wiped out completely. But Israel's only there to create the instability that is needed to create the huge conflagration between East and West, to bring the order out of chaos that they want. They can't have the order out of chaos without creating the Third World War. They can't create the Third World War without Israel being there to create it. And that's what Israel's done. That's been its whole purpose ever since its creation, is to create instability. It's not to create a home for the Jewish people. I mean, there is no Jewish race. It's a religion. It's not a race. Religions don't have homelands. They have places where people live who practice that faith. But to say that Judea is the source of the Jewish people is ridiculous. It's the source of the Jewish faith. But there are no Jewish people. But this whole conflagration that we're heading for, this whole World War III that it seems Trump is so intent on kick-starting, may well result in the destruction of the state of Israel. Well, at least the destruction in the state of Israel as the Jewish state anyway, and I suppose that can't be a bad thing. We don't want a Jewish state. We want a democracy. and that won't happen in any religious-based state. We don't want a Jewish state any more than we want a Muslim state or a Christian state. We want a state of open tolerance of people to practice whatever faith they want to practice, if they're really that sort of person who wants to practice a faith. Personally, I don't buy into religions myself, but I don't think we need any religious-based state for any religion. I think these things can only be harming to people who don't practice that particular faith. And we've seen this has been the case in all religious-based states, whether these states are Islamic fundamentalist states, whether they're Christian fundamentalist states, or whether they are Jewish fundamentalist states. Either way, it just never works. So religion and government need to be kept in separate boxes, I think, folks. These things should never mix. Politics and religion and government and religion should be kept completely apart from each other. But there are so many forces at play here, and there are so many forces working to keep these things at the forefront of focus, to keep these things on people's minds, to keep people locked into this left and right struggle, to keep people failing to step back and see the bigger picture. You know, all the world is a stage, folks. It really is. All of these fights are contrived. All this media battle is contrived. Trump's continual reference to fake news and making sure there's a battle between Fox and CNN and all this rubbish. I mean, it's such theatre, and it's just amazing that people are buying into it, and they're just not stepping back and seeing the opportunities that this provides for people. You know, I've said all along, folks, it's what the people do with the Trump presidency that's going to make the difference. It always comes down to the people. It always has come down to the people. This is a huge opportunity for people to see how much they're being played. Now, there's no one who can lead you to safety if you're not prepared to adjust your moral compass. And what's all of this about? All this immigration stuff. I mean, where's the humanity in this? Some of these countries that are really struggling that Trump is posturing against, it's just not right, folks. It's not right for people to put aside their morals so easily and to put aside humanity so easily to support an economic system or support a national system. I mean, all this national stuff, folks, I really get tired of it, I really do, you know. The whole national pride concept is what's brought about the refugee situation in Australia. That's what allows these people to be locked up and incarcerated the way they are. Nobody does anything about it. No one talks about it, you know. And people are kept so distracted from the power of themselves, and they're kept so dependent upon leaders to come along and save them, and they just don't realize that they can save themselves. Indeed, they are the only ones who can. You know, all of the problems we face in the world today are due to a failure of people to open their hearts and really look at things and look at the world realistically. You know, our failure to do that which we know is right is the problem. Our support for all of this rubbish that we're fed by the media, and our willingness to just jump down these media rabbit holes, these political rabbit holes all the time. Like I said, it's amazing to see how quickly people have fallen back into supporting the state and have fallen back into this left-right paradigm. It's just been remarkable to see how much of the independent media has just lost its focus and become rabid supporters of the state. And it just amazes me. It really does. But I think there is hope, folks. I think we will find a way out of this if people can just get that focus back again. I mean, just some of the backflips that Trump has made should really help people wake up a little bit. I mean, remember what he said about Julian Assange, how he thought he was a hero and he thought that all of this stuff was great, how it had revealed all this corruption. But now he's saying that Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning is an absolute traitor and should remain in jail. What sort of a stance is he going to take on all of this sort of stuff, folks? He seems to be very intent on plugging leaks from the White House, i.e. shutting up whistleblowers. And he's still posturing against the press the way he has been, so posturing against the press, only answering selected questions that he wants to answer, and plugging up all whistleblowers, well, this is not a good thing, folks, because we need whistleblowers to alert us of government crimes. That's the only way we do get alerted to these things, because there really is no real journalism anymore. And so I think people need to really pay attention to what's going on here. Well, we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks. There won't be a show next week because I'm leaving for Mexico to speak at the Anacapulco conference next Friday evening. So while I'm supposed to be on air, I'll actually be at Anacapulco. So you're not going to get a show from me next week, folks. And then after that, I'm traveling to Hawaii for a series of combo workshops. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to get a show in that week either. That will be as soon as I arrive in Hawaii. It depends on how jet-lagged I am and what the accommodation is. I really have no idea what I'm arriving to. So there's a possibility that I'll get a show done, but if I don't, then I will definitely get one out for you the following week. This tour, as I've mentioned, is going to be the last tour that I do for quite some time, possibly even the last tour that I do. I'm not really sure where it's going to go from here. I mean, I'm really getting tired of traveling, so I just want to kind of knock that on the head for a while and try to spend a little bit of time at home or perhaps in Peru, somewhere cheap, so I can work on the films and get a little bit more information out to people that way. I'll try to continue the shows while I do that. I mean, just because I'm not touring does not mean I won't be doing the shows, but this is going to be the last tour that I do for a while. But the dates are Mexico next weekend, which is the 23rd and 24th at the Anacapulco conference. And after that, I'm doing a series of combo workshops in Hawaii at a place called Earth Song. And I will get a banner up on the website for that soon. And after that, I'm speaking at the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia. Do come along to that. It's a great gig. After that, I will be going to a gig in Joshua Tree in California. That's on the 23rd of April. And then I'm going to speak at Rock the Farm in Ohio. I think that's on the 5th of May. From there, I'm traveling to England to speak at AV8. And from there, I've got a couple of things I've got to do in Europe. And eventually, I'll be ending up in Denmark to speak at the Open Mind Conference in Denmark. And that will be in September this year. There's a chance I'll be going to Lebanon as well, folks, around about July to speak at the Palestinian University there, and I'm certainly looking forward to that one. So I do look forward to seeing people who can come along to those events. There was also someone making noises about a talk in Ireland, so we'll just see what happens with that as well. I mean, I'm quite open to doing other things while I'm away, but a lot of stuff hasn't been confirmed yet, and I'm kind of grifting with the wind a little bit on this tour, so it's going to be good. I'll get plenty of time off, but I am open to doing other things, and if they do come along, I will keep you posted on that. I'll try to get some banners up on the website soon, and I'll try to perhaps open some sort of a travel blog on the website the way I've done a couple of times previously, so you can keep track of my whereabouts and just come along on the journey with me. But thank you for joining me on the air today, folks. Thank you for giving me the gift of your time. And thank you for doing it so often. You know, the people who have listened to the show for so many years, it's such an honor to have people still listening to the show. And it's such a privilege to be able to come and talk to you each week the way I do. So I really do thank you for that. And thank you to all of the supporters of the website, all the people who are contributing to the Patreon account. It's really, really wonderful to see people doing that. It's the only thing that's keeping me going, folks. I've spent all my life savings on doing all of this now. I did have a lot of guitars once, and I was fortunate enough to be buying guitars back in the 70s when they were quite cheap, and many of the guitars I managed to get were quite collectible and ended up being quite collectible, and I was lucky that I had that to live on for quite a while. But I sold all my guitars many years ago, and that savings has kind of dwindled down now. So if the show is to continue, it can only really be done via listener support at this stage. So thank you to all those who are supporting the show and are supporting the Patreon account. Everything's still free on the website, folks. You don't have to subscribe to the Patreon account to get all the content for free. It's all there for free, and it always will be. There'll never be any advertising on the website. There'll never be anywhere to subscribe to have to get content. It'll always be free. That is the purpose of the Crow House, to just provide that portal for people and to provide free access to information that I believe people need to get. So thank you for supporting it the way you've done. But it has been my pleasure to come and talk to you, folks. As I said, there won't be a show next week or possibly the week after, but I'll get back on the air as soon as I'm able, and I'll get back on regularly as soon as I'm able. I should be able to get a few done while I'm touring, and so you can look forward to hearing what the travels are about as well. It's going to be interesting to see what the United States is like on the ground when I get there. I think it will be a little different to the way it was last year, but I'll just have to wait and see. And that's not too far away, just a couple of weeks. But anyway, folks, I'll look forward to speaking to you again when I'm able. I'm completely out of time now. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.